Thank you for joining me on the Boise Art Scene Podcast. I'm Morgan McCullum. I'm here with Deborah Marshall Borer and Gia Strang from Bosco, here to talk a little bit about the event coming up in October. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
So, like I said, you've got the Bosco opening in the first two weekends of October?
Correct, the 4th and the 5th, and the 11th and 12th.
Excellent. So, what is Bosco, and what can people expect to see if they choose to participate?
Well, we're open the first two weekends, and it is our main event for the organization. We have about 120 artists that are involved in our membership, and about 80 studios open up for over the two-weekend period. So we're separated into East Boise and West Boise. And so the first weekend is East Boise artists. And the studios are open and projecting what they do to the population, to the public, and allow people to come in and see their process and experience what their art is, the behind the scenes, which is really fun for people. It's almost scary sometimes, you know, to see what's happening with this kind of creativity. So
Oh, absolutely. It's
a wonderful experience for people.
Yeah, I mean, getting to peek behind the scenes at the process and the tools, that's part of what I love about doing all of this. So how many people will actually be participating in will it be all the artists?
Or? No, not all of our artists open every year. A lot of folks have other commitments. Sometimes they can't open that particular year, but this year we have a little over 80 artists that are participating. We have several locations that will have multiple artists at one studio. So you can get, I guess, more bang for your buck, I guess, if you want to put it that way, by visiting one studio, and there's several artists there that you can see their work, their process, and talk to them and meet them and experience their creative spaces, which is truly a unique part of the Open Studios event. I think far too often people see artists either at, you know, like Art in the Park or in galleries or at exhibitions. And it's a very different experience because it's a different context.
Yeah.
So when you're able to visit artists in their creative spaces, I think it gives the opportunity to make connection directly with an artist and learn more about what drives them to make their work, and personally, I love creeping people's studio spaces, and because typically artists' studio spaces are funky and they have
interesting things.
Yeah, they have the art there that inspires them, made by other people. And so it's always fun to see that.
That's also, that's one of the things I always would try to focus on when I would make videos. I would try to show, you know, some of the art that was not necessarily by the artist, but that the artist kept in their space to inspire them. Because I think in a lot of ways that can be just as important to see.
Informing their work, absolutely. And there's always fun stuff too, because I think as artists, we like weird stuff sometimes. And so there's always cool, fun stuff to experience in people's studios. And
absolutely.
And I mean, just being able to have one-on-one communication with the artist that maybe you're drawn to their work for some reason, and being able to create that connection and, I don't know, talk to them like someone that you're sitting at a coffee date with. And that's one of the, I think, benefits of the Open Studios every year, is that making those connections with people.
Well, and people aren't afraid to say something. You know, they're not afraid to ask questions when all the work is right there.
Sure.
And to see what created it, you know, what was the thought process for the artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as intimidating, I don't think, when people are able to come into the studio.
I think that's fair. I think a gallery setting can sometimes feel a little intimidating. And being in a space like this, I mean, we're in Deborah's studio right now, and it is very welcoming, very interesting. You know, there's art hung up all over, and it's a very welcoming space. And will you be have your space here open?
Yes, yes, the first weekend.
Okay, so will you have anybody else here? Will it be just you here?
No, it'll just be me.
Okay, so I know when I went to, I think it was Lauren Kistner.
Yeah, she actually opens up with Julie Clemens at Julie Clemens's location, yeah. And they've been doing that together for years. And Julie Clemens, which by the way, if any of your listeners haven't been there, it is a truly magical place to experience because again, she has art from not just her own art, not just Lauren's art that's there, but there's art from other artists that are in the space that just make it kind of a magical, and you feel it when you walk into her space, what a wonderful, wonderful place it is.
Yeah, that was, I imagine, the place that I went and saw things. There were, I think, two or three people that were there in total, and yeah, lots of stuff to see, lots of interesting bits, and the studio space where the work was actually created was neat to see as well. I think she might have been in there working at the time. I don't quite remember, but I remember seeing a painting on an easel. I don't remember the exact details.
Yeah, that is actually, that is one of the requirements for Bosco. We are an education-based nonprofit, and we do require that all of our artists demonstrate their process, some portion of their process for the Open Studios tour, so that people can come in and see how the work is actually created instead of a finished product.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that's super important. I mean, for an education standpoint, for an accessibility standpoint, I recently started doing line of cuts, and it had always seemed like something that was, I don't know, difficult to get into. But then I walked into Michael's and I bought the stuff and I started doing it. And it was like, oh, yes. I can just do this.
It's wonderful to realize that,
yeah.
You know, because it keeps people from experiencing their own creativity, the fear of that. And it's just a learning curve, you know, and you just spend the time,
yeah.
and it will come.
So tell me a little bit more about Bosco. You mentioned that part of the mission is kind of an education training sort of thing, but what else is there about Bosco?
Well, Bosco also, throughout the year, we've expanded into what we are offering our membership, and we'll continue to create new things, but we have exhibits throughout the year and we collaborate with other organizations. We've collaborated with Ballet Idaho, with the Archives, Idaho Archives, and the Basque.
The Omkari Basque Dancers.
Yeah, the dancers, and oh my gosh, who else?
The Idaho Songwriters Association.
Yes, yes, which
we
is
have
our
a very
big
active,
one.
Yeah, we have an active exhibition with them right now at the Riverside. That's up until the end of October. And we have actually our opening reception for that event at the Riverside is coming up on the 26th from 5:30 to, it's first Friday in Garden City. So okay. I think it's the 26th from 5:30 to 8:30. And they will have all of our art, the artist's artwork up, and the songwriters will also be there playing the songs. So artists will submit a piece of artwork and songwriters will submit a song. And then those things are exchanged between artists and songwriters. And then an artist will create a piece of art based upon the song that they were given. And then the songwriters will create a song based upon the artwork that they were given. So
it's really an amazing experience to see that.
That Riverside Hotel has been surprisingly active over at least in my awareness, the last few years, where they've really brought in a lot of art shows and had a lot of art activities there.
They are trying to be a bit of a hub. Mm-hmm. And it's always great to have locations to be able to host or that are able to host events like this that as a nonprofit, we can't, you know, we can't afford to rent out large spaces to host events. So when organizations like the Riverside is willing to put up our artwork and host events like this, it's always mutually beneficial to the community and to the business.
Well, like right now, we have also our exhibit Best of Bosco that is up in the Delia Dante Gallery.
Oh, okay.
Over at 14th and Main. And she has been a wonderful supporter of the of Bosco's mission and goals. And we it's a lovely exhibit, and we would love to encourage people to go in and see that. We also have the Mosaic up, which is our fundraiser, and these are small 8x8 paintings that people can buy for $150, which is not very expensive. It's a great Christmas idea, you know, for Christmas gifts, and it's a great exhibit this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice to have art be accessible at, I mean, you know, granted $150 isn't affordable for everybody, but in the scheme of, you know, gallery pricing,
yes,
it's
original,
very affordable.
For original artwork,
original
it's very
art.
Affordable.
It's very.
We were speaking a little bit earlier before we recorded about the Severin Gallery and in Sun Valley, and it's such a, it was almost sticker shock when I went into some of the galleries,
yes,
and I saw the amounts, and also when I saw the little red dots that said that,
yes,
those works were sold.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Wow. Coming back to a question, so those pieces, they're on display at Fire Fusion Studio at Delia Dante's place, is
yes,
that correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how long is that going to be up?
It's running until the end of October. Mm-hmm. So, and as a matter of fact, it's the last exhibition at Delia's gallery.
Right. I know that she announced that she's planning to
close the gallery.
Which is sad. Yeah.
Yes. Very sad.
It's very sad. But she's going to be working on her own art.
Yes.
And that's what's critical.
Yeah.
You know, that people have to make decisions. There's, you know, not all a lot of time in the day to be able to do two different diverse things.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. She has made that place into quite an interesting space. I've been there many times myself. I've done work with Delia. Did a piece on her for my day job. Did a piece during COVID on her for while her building was actually still being renovated and everything back in COVID times. I'm glad that she's not, you know, stopping or anything like that.
But, yes, no, but yeah, she's not going to go away.
Yeah.
No, she's just working on some wonderful, a new project, a new series of work.
And one other thing I wanted to mention as well that kind of jumps right onto events that we do in the community is, so we've got the Idaho Songwriters collaboration happening at the Riverside. We also collaborate with JUMP, and JUMP will be hosting a one-night extravaganza for the same collaboration, where the songwriters come and perform their songs live with the artwork being projected behind them. I think it's up in the Pioneer Room on the 6th floor.
Yes.
And so it's the nice big space up there with the big windows. And that is going to be first Thursday in November. I think it's
December.
December. Sorry. I think it's December 4th. And that will run, I think, from 5 till 9, if I remember correctly. But all of this information you can verify on our website, BoiseOpenStudios.com. It has all the information for all of our current events. And also, it's where you can go to see all of our artists, all of our Bosco artists, and see their profiles, examples of their work, and also visit our interactive map that allows you to kind of see where in the city we have open studios for this particular year. We also have a downloadable map that you will be able to download and print out for those folks who are not technically savvy. But the wonderful thing is that this map is available on mobile devices, so you can bring it up on your phone and pull up the map and click on the particular marker on the map that you want to go to. It will pull up the artists and any other artists that might be exhibiting at their space and navigate directly to the studio from your app. And it will pull up the Google Maps and it will direct you to the studio. So it makes it super easy for people to be able to get out and visit studios. We have, it's broken up almost equally this year between the first weekend and the second weekend. So we break it up. So the first weekend is artist studios on the east side of the valley. And the second weekend is artist studios on the west side of the valley. And it's almost broken up equally, 32 the first weekend and 32-33 the second weekend studios. So with over 80 artists participating this year.
Oh, that's a great turnout, or, you know, a great amount of artist buy-in on it, you know?
Yes, it is. And it's a Bosco is a professional organization. These are serious artists, and they are always wanting to improve, you know, their art and work on, you know, what collectors and the public would like to see. You know, so it's a wonderful organization. We have a brand new website that Gia has been working her little fanny off on, and it's such a nice website. And I think we would like to encourage everyone to go to it just to see what the artists are doing and to keep up on it. You know, it's going to be new things are on the website all the time, and it'll have a wonderful interest.
And so that's BoiseOpenStudios.com, right?
Yep.
Okay. And yep. So is that the best place to go to get information?
It is. Yes. It has all of our information for all current exhibitions or upcoming exhibitions. It has information about the organization, which, by the way, this is our 22nd year of putting on the Open Studios tour. Yep. It started in the early 2000s with just 13 artists, and here we are with over 100 artists participating, well, not participating in this particular year, but member artists, which, by the way, I would like to talk a little bit about membership.
We
will be opening up our membership window for new applications starting in February 1st through March 31st. Anyone interested in becoming a member of Bosco can apply through our website. And it's a blind juried process, so outside artists will jury new members in. And we did not have a new member application period last year, so we didn't accept any new members last year. So this year will actually be a very big year for Bosco accepting new members. So if there's any artists out there who are looking to apply and become members of Bosco, this is the year to do it. And I always tell people we should be looking at college students who are interested in becoming professional artists. We're looking at emerging artists who are new in their career, who are looking to further their professional experience. And then established artists, because it is a professional organization, and we get together regularly, and folks who become members are able to meet other professional artists in the local area and be able to collaborate, and that's huge. We all know as artists that collaboration, I think, is such a huge part of what we do, and that's one of the things that I think this organization provides, professional collaboration with other professional artists working in the local area. So if you have questions, if you want to pick other people's brains about their process or about how they market, this is a great organization to be able to do that. So I highly encourage membership.
Well, and I know that I've personally, every time I've gone into one of the studios that's opened up, it's been an impressive experience. And I've seen a variety of mediums. A couple of years ago, spoke with a sculptor, and I've seen visual journaling. I've seen just all sorts of, it runs the gamut what is in Bosco.
Yes.
And I think that adds to the interest, or the interesting part of these weekends, getting
it's
to
a
see
draw
that
for
variety.
Sure. The variety is amazing.
Yes.
What do you think brought you, either of you, drew you to Bosco?
Well, I moved here right before COVID, and I was in a community of artists where I lived prior to this in Sun Valley, and knew them all very well. And I didn't know any artists here in Boise when I moved here. So after COVID, I decided that Bosco would be an opportunity to start to meet this community here. And it's been a very important part of my goal as president to move us in a professional direction. And because we have so many, there are organizations that handle all different types of artist levels and desires. And Bosco is the membership that does strive to be towards the professional side of things and not through the hobby, hobbying. And I think that's really important to elevate what people's expectations are. We have beautiful artists here. And when you see them working to be more professional and strive for that, that's important to the community. And art reflects the health of a community, and I've always believed that. And so it's important that our city, our community, starts to even more learn more and appreciate more what their own artists are doing.
Ooh, absolutely. And yeah, bringing awareness, bringing accessibility,
that's
very important stuff.
Yes.
And I know that you mentioned that Bosco has been involved with several different organizations. It seems like I frequently see the logo come up in association with it.
I'm glad to hear that. Yes.
Well, we hope that we get more and more of that happening all the time. That's our goal. But surprisingly, when we're out and about at events, at other art events, and I talk to people about, well, have you heard about Bosco? So many people still haven't heard about Bosco. And so I find myself often having conversations with the public at events like the Meridian Fine Arts Festival and Art in the Park and the Hyde Park art event. Having those conversations. Hey, have you heard about Bosco? So obviously we have more work to do in marketing and getting the Bosco name out there. I mean, we're well known in the artist community,
sure.
But in the public, we have work to do.
I think that's the case for most organizations, most people, most artists. It's getting that awareness and, there are many, many people, many, many organizations here in the Boise, Treasure Valley area.
Right.
That's something that has been shocking to me. Like if I had infinite time, I could do infinite stories, you know, mm-hmm. But it seems like the people that know about, you know, there are groups of people that know about Bosco. There are groups of people that know about, you know, whatever other organizations, but it seems like it's hard to get some of that overlap or to have awareness of all of it. And that was one of my goals with Boise Art Scene. You know, unfortunately, I'm just a person.
So glad you're doing it, though.
But thank you. But yeah, I tried, you know, I one of the things that has popped up in the last few years that I thought was really nice, really interesting, is the Art Guide of Ada County.
Yes.
And they're striving to get everything in one place where it could be easier to find.
And it's easily accessible. It's easily digestible. And I think what Nellie and Randy and Laurel are doing with the Ada County Art Guide is crucial to further developing this community. And because right now, we don't have enough places to exhibit our work. We don't, it's not as robust and as what we would like to see as artists in the community. And so being able to kind of put everything together in a nice, neat package as they have done is really, really wonderful. And we hope that it's getting into the hands of the people who are truly interested in art and in furthering the art community here.
I've spoken with Nellie several times, and you know, from the feedback that I've heard from her, it sounds like you know, people are picking up the pamphlets.
Yes.
They've had to, you know, produce more and more each year, you know, and so it seems like it's getting out there. And I know that there are a lot of good galleries and organizations around here that host those pamphlets or have them available for people. And I think that's a super important thing. And I think it's awesome that people were finally able to kind of get some of that together where it's a more easily accessible viewpoint of everything, most of everything that's going on. I think it's impossible for anybody to know everything that's going
right,
on.
Right, right.
Because it also becomes an awareness thing too, because people have to know about Art Guide of Ada County to...
Exactly. Well, and like this year was our trial year, but next year we'll be involved in Idaho Gives.
Oh, good.
And so, you know, we're going to be elevating our marketing and our, you know, our development process. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're kind of growing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Working on it.
So how often does Bosco do events?
Well, every year for the last 2 years, we've done some sort of collaboration for the past 4 years with other cultural entities, being Ballet Idaho and the Idaho Songwriters Association being the two that we've done for the past 4 years. We did 2 years with Ballet Idaho, and then the past 2 years with the Idaho Songwriters Association. And we just did our first collaboration with the Owen Carey Basque Dancers, which was a huge success this year. And we plan on doing that coming up on Hialdi every 5 years. So
and maybe more in between,
yeah,
too, because they were lovely people.
Got to do a little bit of work with watching them practice. I think it was the same group.
Yes.
Yeah, watching the dancers practicing. Yes. And everything else. And it was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Well, and I hope, you know, maybe someday with Trailing of the Sheep up in Ketchum, mm-hmm. and then you've got the dancers down here, that maybe some collaboration will start, you know, moving in that direction too.
Yeah. And we've been really trying to work a partnership with JUMP. We're so happy that JUMP is really starting to reach out to the community finally, because I felt, I think that many of us in the community, we have this big, beautiful place, but they weren't doing anything with it. And so the new director there, well, I guess he's been there now for, 3 years or so, has been doing an amazing job reaching out and being offering hosting for cultural events like this at the location. So
because we are educational. I mean, that was the criteria for them.
Well, and I have experienced both sides of that coin. You know, there were years ago when I was fairly early on and getting started, I had tried to reach out and didn't hear much back. And then I've also more recently, probably within the last 3 years, I don't remember exactly when, I reached out and I got brought in for a meeting and to kind of view spaces and stuff like that. And yeah, there's been a lot of great stuff going on. I think it's that it's been more proactively searched for, maybe, you know, like you mentioned there, where before it might have been more of a, you got to seek it out and hope.
Yeah. There was a lot of hope there.
Yeah.
Now, if only we can get into BAM. We would love to get more into BAM. So I would love to see BAM become more more proactive at hosting local artists, which, you know, they've just recently started to host some local artists, and I am so happy to see that. And I think it's hugely important that BAM also recognizes the local community in what their mission is. I think that's a huge part of developing strong relationships and a healthy art community here. Getting back to events, we also have an annual exhibition at Initial Point Gallery.
Yes.
And Initial Point has been, they're huge in the community. They're really trying to further the community and raise the level of art in the community and accessibility for artists to exhibit their work. So Initial Point is another location that every year we have an exhibition there of Bosco artists. It's typically themed, and we have another one coming up here next year at Initial Point. I think it's in June-ish.
Yes, yes.
And I think the theme is going to be kind of America, freedom, mm-hmm. kind of.
For the 250th.
Yeah, for the 250th celebration. So we'll have that coming up here next year as well. And we're kind of trying to figure out how we also want to expend our energy coming up in the future for collaborations and future events, because we are a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We function on the work of volunteers on the board, and it is a lot of time to mm-hmm. run the organization. And, you know, our signature event is the Open Studios Tour, and that's where we put most of our energy into. So, you know, it starts to, the trickle down effect there as we get further out for other events. Sure. You know, we're working on, you know, how we want to focus and where we want to spend our energy. And we'll see what that looks like here for the next year.
Yes.
So
we're always intent on surveying our members to see what they want, what we've been successful doing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't hear very much, you know, and it's sort of like out in the ether world. But we as a board are always trying to stay in touch and listen, and are definitely, the membership can contact us at any time. And so we're growing, and, you know, and it's how we want to grow. And efficiently.
Well, and like I said, I know that I've seen the logo associated with several things over the last few years that I've been aware of everything. You know, I admittedly, part of what made me start Boise Art Scene was my own ignorance of what was around and that desire. I took a walking tour, I've said this story many times, but I took a walking tour that was led by Tilly Bubb and Carl LeClaire.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they pointed out like the stamps in the sidewalk mm-hmm. that were commissioned art, and like just all this other stuff
that a lot of people don't even realize are there.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what was fascinating to me, because there's so much going on that you don't get to see. And I think that, you know, for me, what makes Bosco such a unique, interesting organization is that open studio, you know,
yes.
getting to come in and see this. As I think, from what I've seen obviously I haven't been at all of your events like you probably have, but when I've seen people come in, I see a lot of public interest and a lot of public desire to interact with the artists and get an idea of what were you thinking when you decided to paint the flying V on that painting, you know, like,
yes.
as an example of what I see just right here, you know, but, you know, so I think having those interactions with the public and making people aware of who's out there and that you can have a shop on the side of your house
yeah.
or even, you know, just as your garage is decked out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm always amazed. And, you know, talking a little bit about, kind of going back about what made me join the organization, was I was first an attendee before I was ever a member. And I thought it was so cool to be able to go around and see people's studio spaces, see where they created their work and talk to them and meet them and have intimate conversations yes. about their work. And it was, I loved it. Every year I was so excited when Bosco came around. And at the time, I was in school pursuing my BFA with a focus in sculpture. And I was like, this is for me, when I finish, I would really love to become a Bosco member, because I thrived on having those conversations with people. And once I became a member, that is the thing. I don't sell my work typically at Bosco events because, well, first of all, my sculptures are typically larger, and it's not, you know, it's not an audience for that everyone will be interested in. They don't have the space for it. But I have amazing conversations with people, and I meet people who are like, oh my gosh, you're making this in your backyard on a porch under a shed roof.
It's an awesome studio.
Yeah,
where she
and
hasn't set up.
Being able to, you know, being able to have those conversations with people is what drives me for Bosco every year, that I love it. I just love having those conversations with people.
Absolutely. I love getting to go in and see what people are doing and talk to them about their ideas and their view of the world. You know, I mean, artists, I think, see things differently. And I think every artist sees things in a unique way. And I mean, the ability of a painter to interpret that and bring it into what they want, or the ability of a sculptor to bring life. For about a year, we followed Ben Victor on a sculpture of Krista McAuliffe. And it's an 8-foot tall statue, and watching all of the we didn't get to watch the creation, but watching that come together.
That process.
You know,
yes.
It's amazing to get
it's
to
an
see.
Incredibly involved process.
Yes, it is.
Well, sure.
Yeah, bronze pouring is a crazy process.
Well, and yeah, for him, we saw everything from the creation of a maquette, like mm-hmm. a 2-foot tall statue, to the 8-foot clay fire, and then followed the foundry and the welder. Crazy process. Can't wait for that to actually get out there. But it's incredible, though, to get to see how these people work and how they view things and how they interpret things. And you know, like when you look back at the masters in Greece and Roman times and stuff, and you see just all the little veins and muscles and but not everybody needs to pull that out. It's how you interpret it, you know?
It's
amazing.
And here's the deal too, demystifying the process for people.
Yes.
I think there's value there in demystifying the process and understanding how much work goes into the creation of a single piece.
Absolutely. I think it's very easy to, tying a string back to what we were talking about earlier, I think it's really easy for people to devalue the value of art.
Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
it really is, like I said, hours of work and years of dedication and trial and error. And it's mm-hmm. it's not just a painting on a wall that you see that, you know, it's not the same as a painting that you pick up at Walmart, you know,
or a
print, you know. It's a different thing when you're buying an original piece of art.
Or a new artist, you know. I mean, they're learning the process. It takes years of knowledge, and you can start to understand there's a difference in how those paintings or the sculptures turn out. Mm-hmm. You know, the years of experience start to make a difference.
Oh,
I mean, when people ask me, well, how much time did you spend on that painting? And it's like, 26 years.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Well, one of my favorite things, I want to say it was T-Pain, the musician. I can't remember if it was or not, but basically they said, you know, my ability to come into a place and in this case, it was about him. Somebody was upset at him for finishing the work too quickly or something. He's like, just because I've done this for 30 years and can do it in 30 minutes doesn't mean you shouldn't pay me for all of those years of experience and everything else that went into it. Just because I can do it quick doesn't mean that you can, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is because of all of those years of experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what you're paying for. And I saw that kind of as an explanation once upon a time for why, you know, there's the criticism of modern art where you go into a gallery and you see a black canvas and you're like, well, I could do that. But that's not that artist's first piece of work. You know, nobody gets into a gallery for a black canvas.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people miss too is the stories behind why is it a black canvas? Mm-hmm. What does it represent? I think far too often, I think people don't read artist statements generally in galleries, but being able to speak to the artist and understand what is behind the creation of that piece, being able to understand that there's a story there. Like for me, I use industrial waste steel pipe. So I take it from a salvage yard, and its original life was very different from the one it ends up being with me. Mm-hmm. So its function and where it was, what its purpose was when it was first created is very different when I change the context of it, right? But people don't know that about my work. They see that it's round steel and it's industrial waste pipe. And for me, it was kind of talking a little bit about my military background. I did a career in the Air Force, and what I started off as is not where I am today. And there's a metamorphosis that happens for every human being.
Yes.
Where you start off is not where you end up, and what you were originally doing does not determine who you become. So my work kind of talks about that in the raw materials that I use to create it. But most people wouldn't know that. They would see it in a gallery and be like, oh, you know, it's pipe or it's just steel that's been bent. And there's more to the story than that. So by talking to the artist and hearing those things, it allows people to make a connection about, oh my gosh, that story is so much deeper and it resonates with me. And so then the artwork becomes more important.
Well, I think that's very well said. You know, I definitely have a stronger affection for the artists that I have spent time with and spoken to.
Absolutely.
And, you know, having it making that personal connection, it means a lot. And, you know, it's a very intimate thing to have people coming into your private space here,
right.
You know, and,
right.
It's a vulnerable thing for the artist to be willing to let that happen. And because, I mean, Bosco, anybody could come on the tours.
Yes,
you know?
It is a free event, open to anyone in the public that's interested. So there's no tickets. It's a free event. So there's no restraints. Anyone can come. Any type of cultural background, anybody that's curious can come in. It's not exclusive. It is not elite. It opens up and demystifies the process and who we are as individuals and what we create.
Absolutely. And the quality of work that the Bosco artists that I've personally seen, you know, the quality of work is it's top tier. You know, it's not a beginner doing some Crayola watercolors. It's somebody doing real, obviously quality years of experience art, you know.
But it's also for us to encourage young artists to achieve those goals.
Yeah.
You know, if that's their choice. If they want to be a professional artist, we want to be there for them.
Yeah.
You know, to help them learn that path. You know, it's a journey.
Absolutely.
And that speaks to a little bit also. We do have a partnership with Catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a mentorship program with them where our Bosco artists pair up with an artist who is looking to be mentored by working professional artists. And so Catalyst will pair up our Bosco artists with folks who are looking for that mentorship. And then they do an exhibition at the end of that period. And that's a lovely partnership as well. And it allows Bosco artists to also contribute back into making the community what we want it to be moving forward by influencing the artists that are coming behind us.
Well, and Catalyst has been a good one that I've interacted with
Catalyst
for years as well now. And yeah, I a few years back, I found an artist through them that I ended up commissioning a stained glass for my wife.
Fantastic.
I saw it when I went into, I was interviewing Candy for something, and I noticed that one of the artists, and for the life of me, her name escapes me right now. I can think of her Instagram handle, but I can't think of her name. But it's Happy End We Know It on Instagram. I can't remember her actual name. But she, her stained glass was like super, it was not cartoony, but like pop art stuff. And it had like lines on it, and I had never seen a lot of detail done on stained glass.
So unique.
And I reached out to her, and she was like, "Oh, I don't do commissions." And I'm like, "Please." and I talked her into it. But yeah, it was. I was super stoked on that, and I'm very happy with what came from it. But it's, I think it's so important to get to go to those gallery spaces, those community spaces,
yes.
And
yes,
see
it is
what's being done. It gives you the, you know, it lets you know that this stuff is possible.
Yeah.
Well, and Commonwealth is another one of those organizations.
Yeah.
That, you know, that there are some wonderful, wonderful hubs that bring artists together and the public. And Boise's coming on, you know, and we should be there.
It's really grown a lot creatively.
Yes, and, it has.
And I mean, well, at the Commonwealth, I did a 6-month residency there, and it was always incredible to watch the community come in for the open house nights and the first Fridays and stuff like
and
that.
The artist talks too.
Yes. The artist talks were packed. Once they started rolling, mine was a little sparse, but I was also the first one, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, it was very impressive by the end of it, how many people were packing into there. And
it's wonderful.
And having a variety of artists in there as well has, I think, and shifting artists, I think, has made it so that it's always an interesting place to go into.
Well, it's a wonderful platform. You know, for it gives stability to artists, and you know, it helps them learn from one another, right? Mm-hmm. As they're there, as you probably experienced, and it's, you know, it's a really wonderful thing to provide confidence.
Well, I think that community building is kind of what we all need as
yes.
artists and creative people, you know, and to bring in people who aren't necessarily creative but are just interested in seeing artwork, you know.
Well, and they can always be a collector.
Yeah, absolutely. and that's absolutely something that we need many, many more of.
Yes.
Because that's one of the things that myself, many other people I've spoken with believe to be an issue in Boise, is that we have many, many people making work, but not as many people purchasing that work and enabling people to continue.
Well, I think it's a confidence level of the artists themselves.
That is definitely part of it.
And that's one of the things that I, as president, have tried to instill in our membership, is that we are good artists and we have a value. And, you know, we don't have to give it away. And this is very important. So, yes. And I think you're starting to see, well, there's a influx of new people moving in, but you're seeing usually people would go to Sun Valley to buy art, and should, but you're also seeing Sun Valley starting to come into Boise and buying art. That's a nice trend.
Well, and that's something that the Commonwealth has tried to facilitate, you know, during our residency and the residency before. They had trips up to Sun Valley to view galleries, to make connections, and they've done a lot. Amber and Catherine have both done a lot to try and facilitate those connections and bring some of those more well-funded collectors and stuff.
I think one of the things too that we should also consider is, you know, maybe ultimately our goal is to get, you know, collectors to buy work, but we can also focus on people who are starting off their collecting journey.
Yes.
And engaging those folks at, you know, being able to buy affordable works, you know, that are within their price range to begin their collecting. And that this is a process that happens over your lifetime because, you know, as young people, you don't have a lot of, you know, extra money to be able to spend on artwork. Mm-hmm. But when you can get one or two of those pieces, it starts your journey, right? And as you proceed through your life, you start collecting more and more, and mm-hmm. you start following artists that you are engaged with or that you are interested in and start purchasing more of their work. And it's about starting with our young people saying, you can afford art too. There is art in your budget and there are places where you can find those things and start.
Well, and you mentioned the affordable pieces, and we talked earlier about the works that are up at Fire Fusion Studio. And, you know, that is absolutely an amazing spot right there to get one of those. You said they were 150 for the pieces?
A mosaic.
And, you know, if you can afford that, that is a very affordable, in the scheme of things, price point to get in on the
original art.
That's the biggest kicker right there.
And here's a thing with the Open Studios tours. There are a lot of artists that are selling like older work mm-hmm. for like fire sale prices because it's like, okay, I am running out of space and I have to get rid of some of my work. And so it is an affordable option to be able to come into spaces and be like, oh, and I don't know if you have been, Morgan, to Tarmo Wattia's house.
I met him at a John Kilmaster event at Delia's studio, but I haven't ever been out.
If you have the option or the opportunity to go this year's Open Studios tour, so he's open on the 4th and the 5th, and his sister also exhibits her work there, Karen. And but Tarmo, his house is absolutely chock full of unwrapped canvases, in closets, in cubbies, under the sink. Yes. It is astounding the number of pieces of artwork in Tarmo's house. It's unfathomable.
He's been painting a long time.
I was gonna say, and honestly, that's very much, I interviewed John Kilmaster a few years back, and that was very much the feeling that I had there. He opened one of the rooms in his house, and it was just full of canvases, and it was like, mm-hmm. and I mean, canvases everywhere around, and just incredible to see somebody that spent a literal lifetime
working, creating. You know, there's a wonderful energy to all of that.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. So folks who attend the Open Studios tour, at the very first studio location that you visit, you can pick up a passport. All of our artists will have passports at their studios that attendees can pick up. And if you visit 9 studios on the first weekend or 9 studios on the second weekend, so you can't mix and match weekends, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You have to do 9 studios on the first weekend and or 9 studios on the second weekend. And you don't have to do both, as long as you visit 9 on one weekend. You can turn that into, whenever you complete getting all the stamps on your passport, turn it into the artist that you complete the passport at, and you will be registered to win a free piece of art from a Bosco artist. Uh-huh. And we have probably, I would say...
Well, you get to put your name into...
To register win a piece.
But it doesn't mean you will get one.
No, you're registered to to possibly win a piece. And we have We have, I would say, at least probably a dozen Bosco artists give away work every year, and sometimes they give away more than one. So it's a wonderful opportunity just by visiting studios to be registered to win a free piece of art.
A way to start a collection.
Start a collection. That's right. Especially for young people. We'd like to see more young people come out.
That's a wonderful way for them to start.
Yeah. Well, and when I went out to one of the, I can't remember whose studio you said it was. It was Lauren was there, but it was somebody,
Julie Clemens.
Okay. Yeah. And I remember that there was lots of little, there were the gambit of things that were available. You know, there were little trinkety things, and that was more what I picked up, but there's also like full on works and everything. And it's amazing to be able to see the variety of what people make and all of that. And that ability to even just start collecting something that was made by somebody directly from them. And when you get to have that personal interaction with a person, it makes it more special.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Yeah. Lauren Kistner is amazing at selling her work, and she does. She has the range of prices. She has small works that are more affordable. She's got, you know, small little things. She does the Idahos with the Idaho State with the big eyeballs on them, which are amazing. They're so funky and amazing. I love them. Yes, they make my little artist heart happy. There's an amazing breadth of choices in a lot of these studios of artwork that you can pick up that are original pieces.
Yeah. The thing I got is a little triangle thing with some sand in it, just kind of, and like a dried seahorse. It caught my eye. It made me want it, you know? That's kind of how I tend to collect art, is I see something, and if I can afford it, I'm like, I want that.
And that's how most people collect art.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to do it. You know, I don't think that, I think that coming to something like Bosco and seeing a variety of artists in a variety of settings, and, you know, you can kind of meet people and say, oh, I like this person. I like what this person's doing, you know, and I want to support them.
And yes. And follow them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've talked a lot about the years of experience and how it changes things. And that's one of the amazing things about following an artist, is you can watch them grow. Miguel Almeida was one of the earlier artists that I interviewed. I think it was my first interview after COVID started. So I took a couple months off to kind of figure out how I could do it without problems. And I believe he was the first one that I talked to then. So like probably May of 2020. And he has exploded.
Yes.
And his work has evolved in a lot of great ways. And he's really leaned into his aesthetic of stuff. And it's really great to watch how these artists change and evolve over the years and get better at what they do and more exciting. And you can say, I collected something from them earlier on.
Yeah.
And even, you know, that still goes for professional artists who haven't been, you know, widely discovered and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. And it's great to get to watch people evolve over time. Tell me again about when this event is going on and how people can find out where to go and what to see.
Yes, we are available on www.boiseopenstudios.com. And our event this year, the Open Studios Tour, happens over the first two full weekends in October, which this year is October 4th and 5th. And 11th and 12th. And again, the studios on the east side of the valley are open the first weekend, the 4th and the 5th, and our studios on the west side of the valley are open on the 11th and 12th. And if you go to www.boiseopenstudios.com, there is a button on the homepage that says visit the 2025 tour map, and it will take you to the map with all of the little pins on it that identify the artists that are participating in this year's tour. and you just click on the pin and it will pop up a little box that tells you who's all at that studio, because in some instances we have multiple artists at a studio location. So those are the orange tabs, and the red tabs are single artist studio locations. And you can click on any of those tabs. It'll open up the window. It'll tell you who it is, what their medium is, what their address is, what their open hours are, if there's any special instructions for their studio to like find it. Because in some cases we have a couple of studios that it's around the back, or you have to, you know, they have different open hours. Some of our artists have other events and they're only open one day. Sure. So all of that information is available there. We also, you can search by medium and by weekend. So you'll choose either weekend one or weekend two, because we know this time of the year in October, it's such a beautiful time of the year, and there are always tons of events going on in the Valley, and not everybody can attend both weekends. So you can break it up by which weekend you're available, or we would love to see you on both weekends if you're able to do that. And what else am I missing, Deborah? Did I get it all?
I think you got it.
Well, it sounds like you've made it as easy as it can be to have that granularity to find out exactly what you
really
want to look at.
It's really important to simplify what they want to see, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody, you can't get to everybody. So,
Absolutely. If you've got 32-33 studios open, that's a lot of places to go.
But
I think that it sounds like you've done a great job of making it easy for people to find out what they might be interested in.
And we would love for folks to follow us on our social media as well.
Yes,
we are on
do.
Boise Open Studios at Instagram, Boise Open Studios. And we have a Facebook page as well, Boise Open Studios on Facebook. We find it's much easier to interact with folks on Instagram. It's much more robust and engaging for folks. But we do post to both platforms. We also always post our events to both platforms, but please follow us on those platforms and engage. And please message us and respond to our posts, because that helps us get visibility out there so that more people learn about this amazing free event for the community.
And we are a fun organization.
Oh, well, thank you both for talking with me. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Gia. Thanks for talking with me about Bosco and this upcoming studio tour event, and letting everybody know a little bit more about what it is that you do, and you know, the artists that you help to represent, and our overall creative community here.
Yes,
Morgan,
thank you.
We so appreciate your time, and thank you for what you do for the community.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Very important.
Well, thank you everybody out there for listening to this episode. If you'd like to find out more about Bosco, you can go to BoiseOpenStudios.com. If you'd like to find out more about Boise Art, you can go to BoiseArtScene.com, and hope to see you on the next episode. Bye.